Okay. I think I probably know most everybody in this room, but my name is Kristen Ewing, and I, ever since high school when we had the program, even back way then, girls, we had the program where you go in and teach, and I immediately chose the one-year-olds because I like, they will be the least judgy, and if I mess up, and to this day, I still teach the one-year-olds, so please be patient with me. I'm glad all of you are here today. And as you can see, John asked me to talk about God being our refuge. So let's take a look at some Psalms and talk about that. We have so many challenges in our lives today. We've already talked about several, but during those challenges, we're going to turn somewhere. We're going to need help and comfort. And if we aren't mindful, we may seek refuge somewhere other than in God. There are so many reasons and benefits for us to seek refuge in God. And I'd like to share some of my thoughts on some of the scriptures I've been studying. And I hope that you will share some of yours. Let's take a look at Psalms 121. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. There are several sections of imagery that's used in this psalm, and I'm going to read a few of those, and if y'all would, let me know what attributes of God that you think that represents or what it's trying to communicate to us about God. So if you see here, it says, he will not let your foot slip. What attributes do you think that would imply about God? Protection. Yes, that's one of the things I had. Anything else? I had care as well. He's very assurance. Yes. Okay, what about he will watch over your life? What does that imply? I think we have one of them up there, but I'm sorry? Guard, yes. He has an active interest in us. He's always there, watching us. In the shade, he is our shade. I think we know how important shade is here in Houston. What might that imply about God? A cover, a shelter, a place of rest where we can regroup, a gentleness. And lastly, he who watches over you will not slumber. We've talked about this, and Elena talked about it. His steadfastness. Nobody else is there like God is. Always there. Always reliable. He's always going to be there to protect us. When I read these, I can see why the psalm became one of the Song of Ascents. Because it teaches us an important lesson that we will use for the entirety of our life. It is a reassurance of one important idea for God's people to understand and take comfort in. It describes how God cares for us if we seek refuge in him. So what does this mean for God to be our refuge? Who and what does God protect us from? What does he provide through his shelter for us? Has his refuge changed since Psalm 121 was written? Well, let's take a look at another psalm here, and that is Psalm 91. Here we see a repeated use of God being described as a shelter. The psalm provides some great insight into what the meaning, what they mean by God being our refuge. So if you read in verses 1 through 4, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. So as we see, the Hebrew word here for refuge is simply shelter. And we see God described as a couple different types of shelter in this psalm. He's described as a fortress and a surrounding shelter of a mother bird's wings. So what characteristics come to mind when you hear fortress? Power, strength, might, protection, safety. Exactly. What about a mother bird's wings? Tenderness, comfort, gentleness, care, and peace. By describing God as a shelter, I think it is also showing us some other interesting things. First, a shelter is something that is pre-existing, but it must be sought out. God is always there, always waiting for us, but we cannot expect his shelter if we do not look for it. In Psalm 91, in the verses 14 through 16, it says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Also in Psalm 34, in verses 4 through 7, it says, "I sought out the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." In all of these instances, we see the righteous seek God and call out to him. When it rains, we are not protected from the rain if we do not enter the shelter. If an enemy army approaches, we are not protected if we do not ask to be in the fortress walls. Even Jesus says we must ask to receive. We must knock to enter. Grace requires baptism, confession, repentance to receive it. God's love, grace, and protection are eternal, but there is a responsibility on us to seek it. This also points out another important idea behind shelter or refuge. A shelter does not prevent rain from falling. A fortress does not prevent the army from attacking, but it does provide solace and protection when they do. Remember in Matthew 7, Jesus' parable about the wise and foolish builders. In that parable, the wise builder still goes through the same storm as the foolish builder. The promise is not that God will give you a perfect life, but in the end, his shelter and refuge will allow you to make it through the storm. So what can we expect from his refuge? Can you name some people in the Bible who sought refuge in God? Elijah. There's a lot of them. David. Jesus. About Noah. And Ruth. I'm sorry? Rahab. Hagar. We have so many examples. And these were very tough situations that they were in, weren't they? So we see several types when we look at the refuge offered in the Bible. We may think that God no longer offers some types of those refuge. We see the miraculous refuge and the declarations of David, where God saves him from all of his enemies. And we may say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. First of all, we don't know everything that God does. We don't know how and when he does it. Also, we shouldn't overlook the fact that God still does protect and bless us from death and danger, but it's in a different, yet more perfect way. Like God protecting his earthly holy land from death, we are given refuge in the eternal kingdom through his son's sacrifice. There are also some very relatable examples of God offering his refuge in the Bible. We tend to think of the God drives out my enemies verses, but when you look, there are far more verses in the Bible talking about comfort and peace that God offers. Often we see God provide refuge from troubles in the world through companionship. Eve was provided for Adam. Ruth is provided for Naomi. When Barak is unsure of himself, Deborah rides next to him. When David is hunted and afraid, who is there with him? Jonathan. Paul says of Titus in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 5 and 6, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus." When characters in the Bible suffered emotionally, they find peace of mind in God. Through prayer and study, we see many characters find solace in God. Nehemiah is a man who prays constantly. Many times we see sadness, doubt, and fear that stand in his way. But we see him stop and pray, and then move forward. Nehemiah is obviously nervous in the presence of the king, and when the king asks what he would request, it says in Nehemiah 2, verses 4 and 5, that before he speaks, "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the king," and he presented his request. Stops and prays. It's a very powerful tool we have. Even Jesus, when confronted with the lack of faith in others, will often seek refuge and comfort from God before proceeding in his ministry. In Mark 1:35, before Jesus leaves Galilee to begin his ministry, he seeks solitude and prayer. Before his sacrifice, we see him seeking comfort in the garden. So we can see that we may no longer have pillars of fire protecting us from our enemies, but we still have refuge in God, and in some of the more superior and eternal ways. So how can we make God our refuge today? We may not have an army hunting us, but we still need God as our refuge from other things. So how do we do that today? If you could provide me some practical ways where we can make God our refuge today. Prayer. Studying, immersing ourselves in the Word. Yes, active in the church, definitely. Yes, companionship, spending time with those in the body. So definitely looking in those scriptures and identifying that God is always there for us, and that we see many people, many examples there that we can identify and learn from and take comfort in. Some other things I had are meditating, singing hymns or listening to them, reading devotionals, and sometimes sitting in silence, just taking a moment to regroup, refocus. Does anybody have a specific example when they've done one of these things in their life and had and it has worked well for them? I know we listened to Kathleen last night and she had several things. For me personally, when we suffered the loss of our daughter Victoria in my pregnancy, there were many days I did not feel like coming to church services. I was in a dark place. I was depressed. I didn't want to be with people. At least I thought I didn't. And for weeks, I came and I cried every service. I couldn't even sing songs. I could barely lift my head, look at the preachers or something, what they thought of me for weeks. But I came because I knew I should. And I came because there was more going on for me to be there than how I felt, and for me to feel comfortable. I may have felt uncomfortable, but I needed to be there. I needed to be in God's presence. I needed to be with his people. It kept me from moving away from God in a way that might have happened if I just chose not to come when I didn't feel like it. Those times when I did come, there were almost always somebody who came up to me offering comfort or just letting me know they were there. Many times it would make me cry, but it helped to know that they cared. So we've discussed some ways that we can seek refuge, but is one necessarily superior than others? I don't think so. I think it's important that there are so many things so that in all types of situations, we're able to seek that refuge. Are there times sometimes when one way is going to work better than another? I think of, a young mother with several, young kids. They may not have an hour to sit down and devote to prayer and study, but they may have several moments throughout the day that they are saying prayers. Sometimes it's studying alone. Other times it's studying with people. I know that there have been some women here who have done group or studies together in smaller groups, more intimate groups, and I know that has been very beneficial to them. They've been able to discuss things going on in their life and been able to encourage each other. So there's a lot of different types of ways, and we need to find what works for us and just make sure that we are doing those things. And if it changes, it changes, go with it. There's no right or wrong way. Well, there's no better way other than what you need at that time to stay focused and to reach out to him. Sam. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sam was saying that a good thing to do is when you're suffering and you're a lot of times caught up in you and what's going on in just your world, it's good to look up, look out to others, and try and help them. And a lot of times it helps put things in perspective, and then also allowing people to serve you. Thank you. Okay, so we see both similar and different challenges than they faced in the biblical times. Even in a group like we have here today, there are likely several types of challenges that we are facing or have faced in the past. So, what are some things that we see today that we need to seek refuge from? And I'm going to need you to speak up. I'm sorry? Grief. Yes, that is definitely one I had on my list. This may be loss of a child, a spouse, a parent, a friend. But what else can we grieve? We don't just grieve loss of loved ones. Divorce. Yes, if you've ever been around close to somebody that has had a divorce, it is definitely a grievous thing. Some people have even said it's like a death. And then if you do have a person involved in that that has strayed from God, there's a grief over a soul. Because many times in divorce, there's one person in that party that didn't want it. That can be very difficult. What else? Something. Loss of income. Yes. Yes. Okay. So we have loss of income, national disasters. Health. Yes. So there's long-term illnesses, short-term illnesses, there's infertility, another thing that involves grief, anxiety. So am I leading right into depression? This is definitely something we feel alone in just by the nature of the beast, but a lot more people struggle with it than a lot of us think. Sometimes it may be circumstantial from a crisis or a grief that we're experiencing. Other times it might be a chronic chemical imbalance that people deal with the rest of their lives. During depression, a lot of times there are irrational thoughts. There's feelings of hopelessness. You know, these are definitely moments we're seeking God and need help from others. So yes. Yes, so definitely Tiffany was talking about needing renewal from the exhaustion of what it can be sometimes to physically take care of young children. There's not, or family. I was about to say, especially if you're caring for someone who may have health struggles or mental struggles, there's nothing wrong with needing some time alone or a moment away from somebody or something. It is a natural thing, I think, that we need to have times of solace or times to regroup. Some other things that may be temptations that we need refuge from. Maybe it's something that continues to come up in our life and that we may struggle with, and we need to turn to God for help in that. You know, you mentioned national disasters. There's also just worldly strife. I mean, turn on the news. It's overwhelming. It's stressful. There's political stuff all over the place all the time. And not only do we need to turn off the TV or whatever sometimes, but seeking God and trying to make sense of that and trying to process things go back to what is this all really about in seeking him. Does anybody have anything else? Yes.
Mm-hmm. When one stage ends, and you know there's joy coming, but that can be a hard transition.
Yeah. So transitions in life, different stages in life, going from one thing to another. I did have on here loneliness, which may be from, you know, coming to a new community. It may be a loss of a spouse, but it could be also having a newborn. That can be very isolating. It could be empty nesters. From what I hear, that's a big transition. That's tough. I'm sorry?
The elderly,
yeah. Starting to hear from some people in my life that it can be very challenging getting older, and that things just aren't the same. Your mind, I don't know who that was, but your mind still feels like you're young. Your body's saying, nope, can't do that. Go lay down, you know. That's tough. You know, I think it was Beth Bradley that, you know, she was leaving to go with some family, and she was talking about, you know, they just want to take care of me, and they, you know, want to do this. And I was like, you know what? Let them. It's fine. Just let them. You know, honestly, it's easier on everybody when you accept some of that help. But, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in the midst of your struggles, she was saying to change something. Challenge yourself. Nobody likes to change. Nobody wants to put in that effort. But a lot of times, there can be a lot of advantages to that. Do we have anything else they'd like to share? Yes. Mm-hmm. So definitely be prepared ahead of time, along the way, building that faith, practicing, immersing ourselves in the Word so that we're as best prepared as we can be for those moments. Is that you? Right. Yeah. So yes, definitely being there for each other. I have a whole section on that because it is so important, and it's a very powerful tool, but to try and be patient and handle things with each other, enduring those together, and also making sure that we're aware and looking to that those people struggling. So let's move on to what benefits we can gain from seeking refuge in our God. In Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So there are several benefits that we can gain from seeking in God. And I'm just going to go through these. So I was really super excited when I was writing this section of how easy and how specific I could find scriptures on things that we would gain from his refuge. So I'll start with comfort. In Psalms 34, and I'm going to be going quick, so Psalms 34, 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I think a lot of us cling to that verse in many situations. He also gives us peace. In Psalms 29, verse 11, it says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And then one of my absolute favorite verses is Philippians 4, 7. "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Because sometimes in life, that's the only way you can be at peace. There's no logic. You know, when I have experienced that, there has been no physical reason, no logic in why I'm at peace as far as what's going on in my life in the world. It's just purely because he's giving it, because I'm looking to him. Also, he offers love and acceptance. In Psalms 59, verse 16, it says, "But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love. You are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." In Psalms 29, verse 10, it says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." He loves us and accepts us when other people don't. When we've been rejected, when we've been neglected, when we have, all we see are backs, he's there. He accepts us. And so there's great comfort in knowing that he accepts us and loves us. Also, we see confidence and reassurance. In Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, it says, "I keep my eyes on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." We also have renewed strength. Psalms 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." In Psalms 73, verse 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I know, and just like Tiffany was talking about, you know, that renewed strength is so important to us because we're not always going to stay at 100%. And that's okay. It's all about what you do. If you find yourself struggling, it's what you do with it. Hope. Psalms 62, verse 5 and 6. "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." And then finally, I know Diane's going to talk to us about this in a little bit, but eternal life and deliverance. Psalm 34, 22, "The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." So, we know all of these reasons and these benefits to pursuing refuge in our God. However, sometimes there are things in our life that may prevent us from doing so. So what are some things that might prevent us from seeking refuge in God? Pride, yes. Maybe thinking that you can take care of it yourself, or not wanting the help. Sometimes we might even fool ourselves that our way is God's way because we don't want to study about it, or we don't want to accept the truth. what I want must be the way, you know? I think back here. You gonna say something? Yes. Shame and guilt. Yes, absolutely. Just like Aaron was talking about, that guilt sometimes we can just hold over ourselves and punish ourselves, and it keeps us from feeling close to Him because of that guilt. So we need to make sure that we see ourselves, or try to remind ourselves of how God sees us, so that we feel comfortable going to Him. Exactly. I could not decide where to put it, honestly, because you don't think you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Thank you for bringing that up, because I honestly did struggle. Which section do I put it in? Because It is such a debilitating thing at times, especially because it's our mind. It's what we're thinking of. It's what we think we're capable of. It's what we think of God or anything else. And again, if those things can get distorted, or we can not have what we feel we need, that can be very dangerous. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes, I had distracted on here, too busy to do the things that we know we should to help us be spiritual. We've overcommitted ourselves, overcommitted our families. So just like Melanie, was it Melanie? No, Cherie. What? No, somebody, sorry. Doing those things to prepare ourselves for these moments. If we're distracted, thank you. If we're distracted, that's not happening. And so what happens when these crises come? We're not prepared. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The doubt and blaming. Absolutely. When prayers aren't answered the way we think, when life doesn't make any sense, it's easy for us to get discouraged when, you know, we feel like there's no justice. It's not happening the way it should. Or when we request pain to be taken away and it's not. I mean, some of these things we logically know, but when you're feeling it, it's hard. It's hard. I had that one. Yes. If our faith and trust is in people, then when we're disappointed or we're misguided, you know, that's very dangerous. I had Psalms 118 and then verse 8 to go with that. And it says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." We naturally want to trust each other. When we have bonds, you know, with brethren or anything else, we trust, but we're not perfect. And hopefully if we do make mistakes, we try to make it right. But sometimes people are going to let you down. Sometimes you're going to be with people who aren't the right people if you're not careful, and they're going to be guiding you through those times. That's why it's so important that we are mindful of these things. Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 So when we're comfortable and we think we're in control or we think we can control something, giving that up or making changes, growth is very scary because it requires change. It requires doing things that we, like you said, might fail out at first, but it's necessary. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Not looking to the world that thinks they have all the answers, do this, do that, read this book, you know, that it's going to give us the strength and knowledge to overcome things. We need to be patient with ourselves, know that we need strength from something other than ourselves.
I think a lot of times we feel like we're weak.
Yes. That's a lot of that doubt and blame. I know for me personally, sometimes it's just been flat out weariness. My body, physically, mentally, I'm spent. I got nothing left. And I just feel like I can't go on. I can't handle anymore. You know, I think that can be a challenge. But again, we know, we read the benefits of what we can gain when we seek Him. Just being in these places are not wrong in and of itself. It's what we do with it. It's where we go, what we seek, you know, refuge in. Yes. If we don't have the right understanding of God and our God is too little, if we don't give Him enough credit for being able to handle all these things and take care of them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Forgive other people? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're not able to forgive other people, there's definitely a barrier. And why do you think there's a barrier? Because He forgives, and we're to forgive as He forgives. Yes. So we're definitely in a spiritual battle. I think that's why it's easy for us to just come up with all of these things, is because it is a constant battle. There are so many things that are going to get thrown at us. So definitely acknowledging that for what it is. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We have to be honest with ourselves. These can be very tempting. They're very powerful as far as pulling us away from God, and we need to recognize Satan's ability to do those things. Okay, so we've talked about God's refuge and that it's always there, that we need to seek it, and that there are things that can prevent us from taking refuge in him in the hard times. So it's important for us to be constantly seeking him, doing those things that we know for growth, so that when we come upon these things, it's just instinctual to us to turn to him. So one more thing, and this is very important and very, I don't know, just means a lot to me, is how can we help others find refuge in God? Sometimes we need help from each other to stay on track. I believe one of the best ways God helps us is through each other. And it's important that we be encouragers, that we be ready to and eager to uplift instead of quick to be critical. I know many in this audience have helped me and my family in some of our darkest times, and there are people that are just always there. And that's amazing as far as helping us with our faith and making sure that we don't have those wrong people in our life that are sending us in a direction we shouldn't be. So what are some ways that we can help each other seek refuge in God? Yes.
We have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Yes. Did you read my notes? Yes. So be real. Be genuine. You know, a lot of us look perfect on our Facebook and Instagram feeds. Our family life looks perfect. We need to be real, like she said, with each other. Willing to share. Especially, you know, it comes natural more to some than others as far as sharing some life experiences. But we need to be willing to do that, to help each other, of course, in an appropriate setting and however we feel comfortable. But and it's important that we spend time together, because when we're there for the good times and when all the enjoyable times and the bonding that we have, that helps prepare us to know how to help each other when the hard times hit. So I think it's important that we recognize both of those things. Be willing to listen. Sometimes somebody just needs to talk, and you know, don't feel like you have to have an answer or you know, way to solve their problem. Just go, be there, and let them talk to you. Don't not go because you don't know what to say. You know, sometimes we just need to be there. Sometimes there's nothing to say. Some situations, there are no words. There may just be tears. But be there, because sometimes it's just the comfort of knowing somebody's by your side and that you're not alone. And that brings you to God, because you know, looking right at you, been there. Sometimes that's all you can do, but it's a very important thing to do. Being hospitable, you know, welcome visitors. But not only that, help it, have people in your home. You know, be comfortable with them. Because when somebody needs something, they're going to go to who they're comfortable with. So if we give them an opportunity to get to know us, to, you know, show our real side and be approachable, then they'll be able to see that we're somebody that they can come to. Yes, Ashley. Yes, being the voice of truth, reminding each other the true things and not necessarily the lies that we're telling ourselves, especially when we're in those dark times, the depression, the you know, cycles of irrational thoughts. Yes. So Philippians 4, if you're ever doubting or you're not thinking the way you think you should, or you're, what should I be thinking about, read that and refocus on the things that God wants you to be thinking of. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Don't get me started on that. So when struggling with things like depression or thoughts that just aren't true, it's good in the moments where you are centered to make note of that, whether it's, you know, write it down and keep it somewhere you can look back to, or whatever it is, make sure that you're trying to tell yourself those things when you're thinking things that aren't the truth. And I think, you know, going back to that, I will hit on it, especially with depression. Sometimes the way we can help each other is getting help for that person. If it's professional, which sometimes it needs to be professional help, some things are just above our pay grade or chemical that we can't. But being there and helping them get the help that they need, that's very important in that type of a situation. We all have different factors in our life. We all have different personalities. We're gonna handle things differently. So, you know, it's important to not judge each other on what we need to do. We may have same experience somewhat of a struggle, but one person may handle it different than another, and we just need to be patient with each other and helpful. Always helpful. Yes. So sometimes just taking a moment to look at the simple things, look at his creation, and you just realize the magnitude of him and his power and what he can do for us. I've heard a therapist call that grounding. When you go and you touch something physical, or you just, it re-grounds you. Where? Yes. Yes. Prayer is so powerful, and we know that. But praying together, you know, sometimes when you are trying to find words, you need to grab their hands and pray with them, or let them know you're praying for them. That's definitely an important thing. And studying as well. Sometimes it may be there's a struggle in our life that we need to be studying about, and having somebody that's you know, grounded or more experienced or whatever, it's very helpful for them to sit down with you in the Word, instruct you into where those things you need to be thinking of. I also had just be a positive example, and when we're going through things, people are going to be watching us, how we handle things. We're not always going to be perfect, and just because you have moments, breakdowns, that doesn't mean you're handling it wrong. That's, you know, people say it's like, yeah, I hate it when people refer to weakness. That's not a weakness. That's just real. That's just a natural response that God made us with, you know, to sometimes just to see, you know, if we're grieving, that's why it's better to go to house, you know, of mourning, because that makes us stop and think, you know. So that's okay. But being an example of somebody trying to always look to God in their struggles, yes. Yeah, I mean, if we just look to the scriptures, we can't say it any better, you know? It's there, you know, these things are there. Don't forget underestimate the power of a card, a written word. These days, a text message, you know? I mean, just a simple thing to let them know they're thinking of me, they're praying for me, they're there for me. And then, you know, it may be that, oh, maybe I can go talk to them, or maybe this or that, you know. I know it seems like a simple thing, but it can be a very powerful thing. Thank you so much for that. So basically, being willing to share our struggles, maybe with sins that we've had or the things that we struggle with others. You know, part of the thing why we don't approach each other is because we think, oh, well, I don't want them knowing that I struggle with that, or, you know, nobody else here does, you know, struggles with that. I mean, but that's very dangerous, because that can prevent us from getting to where we need to be. So thank you for sharing that. Am I up? My time? Huh? Close. Okay. So, all right. Well, let's wrap this up then. So we're so blessed that God, God of all creation, that loves us and wants us to come to him, is there offering his refuge. Who better to handle our problems, comfort us in our sorrows, and calm our fears than the Almighty? So let us commit together to seeking him and to helping each other seek him until we get to be in heaven with him. Thank you.